Thank you for joining with us here in Bethel Free Presbyterian Church in County Fermanagh. And wherever you are listening in online this evening, our prayer is that the word of the Lord will be a great blessing and challenge and encouragement to your heart. Now you can listen in online to our ministry of God's word here every Lord's Day. That's every Sunday at 12 noon and then 7 p.m. And then also every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. Now, before we read God's word and preach the message of the gospel, let us just unite our hearts together in prayer wherever you are and ask you to join with us and to pray. Pray for God's help and God's blessing and the outpouring of His Spirit upon His word, even as it would be preached this evening. Our loving God, our gracious Father in heaven, we gather, Lord, before Thee this day. We come through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the name of Him who is the way, the truth, and the life, the Savior of sinners. And, O Father, we thank Thee for that wonderful love that Christ displayed for us in coming into this world to seek and to save that which is lost. And, O God, we thank Thee that He went willingly to the cross of Calvary. There He laid down His life as a ransom for the many. And we thank You, O God, for His perfect life, that He was without sin, without spot, and without blemish. And Father, we thank Thee that He died an atoning death. He poured out His life unto death. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And O God, we thank Thee tonight that there's salvation for all who will trust Christ for the whosoever will. We thank Thee, O God, for that great promise of Thy word that says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Father, we thank that there's life eternal, life more abundant to be found in Jesus Christ and trusting Him as Savior. And, O God, as we come before Thee this night, we just pray for Thy blessing upon the preaching and the reading of Thy word this night, even, Lord, to this very end. We pray, O God, that Thou would bless all who would listen in this evening. We thank Thee for all that join with us week by week to hear the word of God. And we pray that Thou wilt meet the need of every heart and of every life. And bless every believer, every child of Thine, O God. We pray that Thou wilt bless them, that Thou wilt encourage them and strengthen them by the mighty help and power of God. And may they know Thee as their refuge and as their strength in every time of need. For any, Lord, that might be listening in cold at heart, who maybe once they walked well with Thee, yet, Lord, they're afar off from God. We pray that even tonight that they will know that restoring touch that comes from the Lord. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou art married to the backslider, that there is no divorce with God. And, O God, we pray especially for the unsaved who would listen in, be they young or be they old. Lord, speak to them. And, Lord, may they be made wise unto salvation. We thank Thee for that fountain that was opened up for sin and for uncleanness. We thank Thee for the fount of the Savior's blood, and that the blood of Jesus Christ, Thy Son, that it cleanseth us from all sin. Bless us, we pray, wherever we gather this night around Thy word. Draw very near. Outpour Thy Spirit, and may each and every heart know and hear the speaking voice of God to their soul. Again, Lord, we thank Thee for the blessing of Thy day, for this day of rest, this day of worship. And Lord, our prayer is that Thou would just help us, Lord, to keep the Sabbath day even in this world in which we live, that we might be a witness and a testimony, Lord, for Thee. Bless across our land and our nation tonight, and indeed across the continents of the world, wherever, Lord, Thy word is faithfully preached and proclaimed. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thou hast said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We pray that many would be made wise unto salvation, that they realize their need of a Savior, that they'd repent and seek the Lord for mercy. Again, Lord, we bring before Thee the situation in our land regarding this virus. We do thank Thee, Lord, for lives that have been saved and preserved and people that have known a physical touch And Lord, continue, Lord, to lay on your healing hand. Lord, thou art the great physician, O God, we pray. And again, Lord, for those that have suffered loss through this virus, give them great comfort, Lord, great solace and great succor in Christ, we ask. May they know what it is to look to thee. Thou who art the one who is touched with our every infirmity, we ask. And Lord, we pray that in thy mercy, that thou wilt stem the spread of this virus. We think of the day of Elijah, how, Lord, thou didst withhold the rain. And then, Lord, thou didst send the rain. And it says of thy servant that he prayed earnestly. And, O God, we would cry to thee, O God, that thou would take away this virus, we ask. And that, Lord, thou wilt preserve many lives, we pray. Give wisdom to our government dealing with this situation, we pray. Grant that even soon in your will there might be a vaccine developed, we pray. Bless our medical staff and frontline medical workers and care workers. Lord, bless them and protect them as well. And meet their every need and bless their families. O God, we ask. Lord, do speak to hearts at this time. Lord, in the midst of death, in the midst of loss, we pray that young and old alike will realize that they're only here for a time, and that this world is not the end, that there is eternity to come. And oh, that men and women, young people, boys and girls alike, will prepare for heaven by putting their trust in the Lord for salvation. May it be so even, Lord, through this message tonight. Bless it to some heart. Bless it, Lord, to some soul. And may, as a result of thy word going forth, even, Lord, from this pulpit, there'll be those who will trust the Lord for salvation. Bless our congregation here, every family and household, every member and friend, every office bearer. Bless the children's and the youth work, the Sunday school work and the Bible class, and every outreach that goes out from this congregation. May the blessing of the Lord be upon it. And Lord, may thou be pleased to use it, we ask, for the furtherance of the kingdom of God in these days. Be with us now and bless us, O God, as we read thy word together. We thank thee for the word of God in our mother tongue, that thy word is true. And Lord, as we seek to preach it, we pray for the help of God, the Holy Ghost, the power of God to attend the preaching of your word. And Lord, bless it and apply it to every heart and soul as thou would see the need. For we ask these things in our Savior's precious and wonderful and holy name, giving thee thanks, O God, for all thy many mercies. Amen. Our Bible reading this evening is taken from the Old Testament book of Numbers. We're turning to Numbers chapter 10. And we're reading from the verse 29 of the chapter, going down to the end of verse 36. And I would encourage you in your home, wherever you are, to read the scriptures along with us. Turn up the Bible references. Pray that God will bless his word to your heart and to all who would listen in this evening. We're reading from Numbers chapter 10 and beginning our reading at the verse 29. Let us hear the word of the Lord as we read it together. And Moses said unto Hobad, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. And he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. And he said, Leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. And it shall be, if thou go with us, yet shall be that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. And they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. The cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out of the camp. And it came to pass when the ark set forward that Moses said, Rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered. Let them that hate thee flee before thee. And when it rested, he said, Return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 36. And our prayer is that God will bless this reading of his eternal and infallible word to all of our hearts. First, I want us to look at tonight, God helping us preach the gospel from, is verse 29 there of Numbers chapter 10. Let me read that verse with you again. It says, "And Moses said unto Hobad, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel." Are you journeying towards heaven? Yes, this is a very important question for anyone to consider in this life. Yes, in considering and no doubt answering this very question, the hymn writer could say, "I'm a pilgrim bound for glory. I'm a pilgrim going home." And by those words, they were really confessing that they were going toward heaven, that they were journeying toward heaven. Now, Numbers chapter 10 and the verse 29 is a verse that really would remind man of the importance of being on this journey to heaven. The verse says, "And Moses said unto Hobad, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel." Now, Raguel, who is also called in the scriptures Jethro, was the father-in-law of Moses. Zipporah, the wife of Moses, was a daughter of Jethro. Therefore, this man Hobad, the son of Raguel, is brother-in-law to Moses. Now, at this juncture in his life, Moses is leading Israel through the wilderness from Egypt to the promised land. And speaking to Hobad in verse 29, Moses says, "Come thou with us, and we will do thee good." And with these words, he invites this man Hobad to join with God's people as they travel towards the land of Canaan. And as Moses and as ancient Israel were traveling toward the promised land, it must also be said that every born-again Christian is also traveling and journeying towards their promised home in heaven. Speaking of that very home for the child of God, it says in John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." That being the case in these words here of Moses in Numbers chapter 10 and the verse 29, they're really a picture in the gospel of how sinners are invited to join God's people on their way to heaven. Now it is this all-important subject of journeying to heaven that I want you to think about. As you ponder this great reality, let me ask, can you say yes? I am on my way to heaven. Can you say yes? I'm journeying to heaven. You see, there's nothing more important in this life than for you and I to be sure of a home in heaven. As we then consider this matter of journeying to heaven, there are three things I want you to notice from these words of Moses in Numbers chapter 10, verse 29. When he says to this man Hobad, "Come thou with us, and we will do thee good." Notice first of all here the journey that is highlighted. In verse 29, Moses said to Hobad, "We are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you." And Moses here was telling how he and God's people, they were traveling toward the promised land of Canaan. What a land that was. We read about this land of Canaan in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and the verses 7 and 10. There it says, "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, and thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for that good land which he hath given thee." Yes, the promised land of Canaan was to be a land of great blessing for the nation of Israel. And as ancient Israel were on a particular journey, so it is the same with all mankind. You think of the question that is asked in Job 14, verse 10. There the question is asked, man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? And such a question really tells us how man, whoever he is on a journey to God's eternity. Yes, there are many, and they are journeying towards a lost eternity in hell, that place of everlasting punishment for sin. You read about that place and its punishment in Matthew chapter 7 and the verse 13, Christ there is speaking. And he says, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Indeed, this is the destiny of the unsaved, of those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, the destiny of those whose sins are not forgiven by God when they come to depart this life. Then there are those also, and they are journeying towards heaven, that place of everlasting life, that place of everlasting glory through God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, you read about that place in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7 and the verse 14. There again, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about heaven. He says, straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Such are those who are saved by God's grace. Such are those who are born again of God the Holy Spirit. Such are those who are redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Dear friend, as you ponder these matters, let me ask, where are you journeying to at this present moment in time in your life? Understand this, that if you are not saved, no matter who you are on that broad road to a lost eternity in hell. And Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 44, it speaks of those in hell. It says, their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. This means that in hell your soul and your conscience will be tormented forever and ever. But on the other hand, if you are saved, you are journeying towards heaven, that place of everlasting life, that place of everlasting peace and joy, that place where there is no sin, no sorrow, no sickness, no death, that place where the Lord is and all is fullness, all is glory. Indeed, Christ told his disciples of this very place in John's Gospel, chapter 14, and the verses 2 and 3, when he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There he was speaking to them about the place of heaven. The hymn writer asked the question, passing onward, quickly passing, but I ask thee, whither bound? Tell me, are you bound for heaven this night? Are you bound for hell? Please understand this evening, despite what the devil may say and whisper in your ear, despite what man and indeed false religions would say, understand this, that heaven and hell are real, literal places after this life, after this world. There are many today, and they think that they're just like the animal, like the beast, that when they die in this earth, that's the end and there's nothing more. Well, that's a very lying deception of the devil. There is eternity for you after this life, either heaven or hell. Please understand that there's no such place as limbo land. There is no such place as purgatory. There is no in-between. There is no such thing as reincarnation. It is either heaven or hell after this life. Numbers chapter 10 and the verse 29, Moses says to this man Hobab, he says, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. You see there that Israel were journeying towards a certain place, a real place,
a literal place. You think of what the Lord Jesus Christ says in the Gospel of Luke chapter 16 and the verse 23. He talks there about a certain rich man who died, and this is what Christ says about him. He says, in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. And there Christ refers to this place called hell. Understand that if you die unsaved, this is the place that you will go to. Hell is real, it is literal. After this world, after this scene of time, the lake of fire is a real, literal place. Then on the other hand, after this life, there's a place called heaven. Turn with me in your Bible over to the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians and to the chapter 5 and the verse number 1. And there the Apostle Paul is speaking about the place of heaven. And this is what he says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And there he speaks to you and I about the place called heaven. If you die saved by God's grace, then this is the place that you will go to, the place that you will be in after this world, after this scene of time. Yes, we see the journey that is mentioned, but notice something else here from our text. Not only the journey that is mentioned, but notice secondly the invitation that is given. In Numbers chapter 10 and the verse 29, Moses addresses Hobab and he says, come thou with us. And here he is inviting Hobab to join God's people on the way and on the journey to heaven. And in like fashion, God's people are to invite sinners, whoever they are, to come with them to heaven through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, that is what Christ himself was instructing his disciples to do in the Great Commission. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, in the verse 15, when he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Child of God, can I say this is your responsibility also? Indeed, this is the responsibility of your church and wherever God's people meet together. Why? Because it is God's will to save sinners through faith and the atoning sacrifice of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You think of what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and the verse 15. There the Word of God says, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And there you see, it's the will of God to save sinners through His Son, Jesus Christ. Think also of what is said in 1 Timothy chapter 2 in the verse number 4. There again it's speaking about the Lord. And that verse says of the Lord, who will of all men to be saved, and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And there you see that it is God's will to save sinners from all different kinds and backgrounds and walks in life in this scene of time. Let me say that if you are still not saved, then this very night I invite you, whoever you are, to join God's people on their way, on their journey to heaven. Think of what the hymn writer says. The hymn writer says, we're going home to glory soon, to see the city bright. We cannot leave you lost and lone. We want you over there. There the hymn writer was expressing his desire, the burden of his heart for those that are unsaved, that they would join with them. And that's our desire for you if you're still not saved. Whoever you are, young or old, man or woman, young person, boy or girl this night, the way for you to go to heaven is for you to put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone as Savior and in Christ alone for salvation. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the verse number 3. It says there of Christ, it says Christ died for our sins. And by His sacrifice, by the shedding of His precious blood, that the sinless Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, He satisfied God's justice. He purchased eternal salvation for all, whoever they are, who will trust Him as Savior. Think of the words of Christ in John chapter 14 and the verse 6. There He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." And there He makes it very clear that it is only through Him alone that you can be saved and be ready for heaven. Again, over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9 and the verse 14. There the writer to the Hebrews is speaking about Christ. He says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." And that verse makes it clear that your sins can only be blotted out and purged away before God by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Further on over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and in the verse 22, and in the verse 24, there you read about those who will be in heaven. You'll see there that there is the mark of the redeeming blood of Christ upon them. It says there in verse 22 of Hebrews chapter 12, it says, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel's." There you see that all who will be in heaven are those who are redeemed by the blood of Christ. They have the mark of the blood upon them. Tell me, is the mark of the blood of Christ upon your heart, upon your soul? If you are to be in heaven, you must trust Christ as your Savior. You must depend upon His blood alone for the cleansing away of your sin. The hymn writer says, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Well, such is the mercy, indeed, the grace of the Lord Himself, that He personally invites you, gives you a personal invitation to come to Him, to trust Him for salvation, that you might have a place in God's heaven after the journey of this life is over. Think of Christ's words in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11 and the verse 28. There He says, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Oh yes, we see the invitation that is given. We see the journey that is mentioned and highlighted. But notice one final thought here from our text in Numbers chapter 10 and verse 29. Notice also the promise that is announced. Look at what Moses says in verse 29 and also in verse 32 as he speaks here to Hobab. He says in the middle of verse 29, "We are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel." Verse 32, "And it shall be, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be, that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee." There you see the promise here to Hobab was that if he joined with God's people, then he too would be blessed of God. Moses says, "Come thou with us, and we will do thee good." Lord, in other words, the Lord would bless this man Hobab if he cast in his lot with the people of God. And you know, it's the same for all who will trust Christ as Savior. It is the same for all who embrace Christ as Savior and start out in the journey to heaven. In Psalm 34 in the verse 8, the psalmist says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." And God blesses all those who put their faith and trust in Christ for salvation. Whenever you trust Christ as your Savior, what will God do with your sin? He will forgive all your sins. You remember the Lord's promise to the man sick of the palsy who trusted him for salvation. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 5, Christ said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." His sins were all forgiven by God. Turn with me in your Bible over to Psalm 85. And to the verse 2 of that psalm. And here's the portion of all who trust Christ for salvation. Psalm 85, verse 2, the psalmist says, "Thou hast forgiven," notice it, "the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin, Selah." In other words, all your sins will be forgiven, blotted out, canceled out by God when you trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. Oh, what a salvation he offers to you in his Son, Jesus Christ. Also, when you trust Christ as Savior, you will know peace with God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 10, it says, "We are reconciled to God by the death of his Son." Also, when you trust Christ as Savior, you'll be saved from the judgment of sin and hell and sure of heaven. Listen to the words of Christ in John chapter 5 and verse 24. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." You'll be saved from sin's condemnation and lost eternity in hell when you trust Christ as Savior. Also, you will know God's presence in your life. Hebrews 13, verse 5, the Lord says to those who trust him as Savior, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." You'll know your needs supplied in life. And Philippians 4, verse 19, there it says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." When you trust Christ as Savior, you'll be able to depend upon the Lord's guidance in life. In verse 8 of Psalm 32, the Lord says to his children, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way in which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." You'll know the sufficiency of God's grace to live the Christian life. The Lord says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And you'll know fellowship with the Lord's people here on earth whenever you trust Christ as Savior. John chapter 1, the verse 12, the word of God says there, "But as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And having fellowship of God's people, you'll have friends to pray for you, to help you, to encourage you along in the journey of life. Now, these are but some of the wonderful blessings that God has for all who trust him and trust Christ for salvation. Oh, in light of these wonderful blessings, dear unsaved friend, I would say to you tonight to refuse the Lord Jesus Christ no longer. Don't refuse Christ. Don't turn your back upon him. Don't be foolish. Oh, don't follow the example of this man Hobab. Notice his response to the invitation that he was given from Moses. Look at verse 30 there of Numbers chapter 10. He replies to Moses and he says, "I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred." He said no to the invitation of Moses. And saying no to the invitation of Moses, what was Hobab doing? He was saying no to God in his life. He was saying no to the blessing of God in his life. Likewise, if you refuse the Lord Jesus Christ and reject him as your personal Savior, then you too are saying no to God. You're turning your back upon God, no matter who you are, no matter how outwardly religious you may appear to others in this life. You're saying no to the blessing of God upon your life for time and for eternity. The Bible makes it very clear that there is no hope of salvation for you if you turn away from Christ and you reject Christ as your own and personal Savior. Turn with me in your Bible over to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Over in the latter part of the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 6. I want you to look at what is said in verses 4, 5, and 6 of that chapter. And this speaks of the outcome for those who reject Christ as Savior. Hebrews chapter 6 and the verse 4, it says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame." If you go down to verse 8 of the same chapter, you'll see how such are rejected by God. It says, "But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned." What does those verses mean? They simply mean this, that it is impossible. It is impossible for you to be saved if you turn away from Christ. You turn away from the gospel. And if you reject the Son of God, there is no hope for you. There's no salvation for you. There is no place in heaven for you. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, the question is asked, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And the implication of that question is this: there is no escaping hell for you. There's no escaping God's judgment for you upon your sin after this life if you neglect God's salvation through faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what church you belong to, what family you belong to. Doesn't matter how good and decent you might be and upright in society. You might be a fine, outstanding character in your life, in your locality, in your community. And I wouldn't doubt that for one moment. But all your good works, all your self-righteousness, all your religiosity can do nothing to save your soul and fit you for heaven. You must have Christ. You must trust in Christ. You must have the blood of Christ applied to your soul. The Bible says, "He that believeth not shall be damned." What a solemn statement from the very lips of Christ Himself. You know, there are many people in this world and they've ruined their business. Maybe that business has been given to them, handed down from a previous generation, and they've ruined that business because they've simply done nothing. Again, there are farmers and they've ruined their farm of land, again, because they have done nothing. There are students and they have ruined their prospects in their career because they've neglected to study, they've neglected their education. Again, they're individuals and they've ruined their health because they have failed to take appropriate exercise, they failed to watch their diet intake. And likewise, learn from that, my friend, that if you do nothing regarding your soul and regarding your soul's salvation, and you live and you die without Christ, without coming to Christ and without trusting Him for salvation, then your soul will be eternally lost and doomed and damned in hell itself. Listen to the words of Christ. John chapter 8, verse 21. He says, "Ye shall die in your sins. Whether I go, you cannot come." That's His message to all who reject Him as Savior. That's His message to you who are still unsaved. It's a word of warning. You die rejecting Him as Savior, die in your sins. He says, "Ye shall die in your sins." And He says, "Whether I go, you cannot come." In other words, there's no hope of heaven for you. You'll be lost forevermore. A lost sinner's hell. Therefore, I counsel you, I plead with you this night to be wise. Heed these words of Moses when he said to this man, Hobab, "Come thou with us and we will do thee good." Whoever you are, wherever you are listening in online, start out now tonight for heaven. Start out now this very evening on the journey towards heaven. How? Are you calling upon the Lord for salvation? Acknowledge your need as a sinner. Believe that Christ died on the cross to save you from your sins. And by faith alone, call upon Him to save you. I tell you this, that God will do you good, not only for time, but for all of eternity. Thank you for listening. May God bless His word to your heart. If you're not saved, seek the Lord, call upon Him. Dear believer, be a witness for the Lord and invite and tell others of their need to come to Christ. And that we might live day by day as His people, for His honor and for His glory. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence and help given in the ministry of Thy word. Lord, bless Thy word, bless Thy truth to every heart, to all who have listened in, who will listen in, and further times to this message, we pray. Lord, may there be those sinners who will look to Christ, who will come to Christ, who will trust Him for salvation. And Lord, for each and every believer, help us to rejoice in Christ, to be thankful that we're on our way to heaven. Help us to do all we can, even like Moses did with his brother-in-law, to invite others to come with us to heaven by trusting Christ as Savior. Answer prayer. Bless us until we meet again around Thy word. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the abiding fellowship and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all and always. Amen.